Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Falklands crisis is still hanging fire, but this may be the last day that that can be said. In our series of reports, we hear first from Martha Teichner in London.
Whitehall says no deadline has been set, but there is considerable feeling here that tomorrow noon London time is indeed the deadline for a peaceful settlement. That is when Britain expands her sea blockade of the Falkland Islands into a total blockade. The Cabinet has been considering the latest American peace proposals, but the Foreign Office has already described them as gravely deficient. From the troop ship Canberra, Commodore Michael Clapp indicates the task force is prepared for an assault.
We have looked at practically every beach we can find in the Falklands and produced a sort of matrix of advantages and disadvantages. Some are naval, some are more suited to marines, some are more suited to the helicopters.
In a radio broadcast last night, Islands Governor Rex Hunt tried to reassure the islanders who will be completely cut off by the blockade.
I know how isolated you feel, and I fully understand the difficulties which this move may cause you. But it has to be done if we are to get the Argus out soon.
The likelihood of a full-scale British assault on the islands now seems days, not hours off. But in London, an attack still appears almost inevitable. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
We've been talking with CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer in Buenos Aires, asking first about the military situation there this morning.
Things are pretty much on hold here this morning, Dallas. All of the military forces, the Army, the Air Force, the Naval forces are on alert all up and down the coast, and it's a maximum alert. Of course, they're also on alert out on the islands themselves. The word here is that a British attack is expected within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Bob, what about the suggestion by an Argentine military spokesman that Argentina might strike first?
Well, as yet, they'd have to find something to strike, I suppose, Dallas. Now, when the air blockade goes into effect, well, then we're told the British fleet, or at least part of it, would then be within range of the land-based Argentine air forces. As yet, the British fleet is just simply out of range of the air forces that Argentina has.
What about the possibility that negotiations might resume?
Very little chance of that seen here at this point, Dallas. The official line is that the diplomatic channels are still open, but the people here this morning see very little hope that some kind of a negotiated settlement can be reached anytime soon.
That was Bob Schieffer in Buenos Aires. The exact location of the British task force in the Falklands area is, of course, a military secret. But Bill Lynch reports the estimate contained in British and American intelligence reports reaching the Pentagon.
The main body of the British fleet is now said to be lying east-northeast of the Falklands, just out of range of harassing attacks by Argentinian warplanes. Any major British moves are likely to be made under cover of darkness, with initial low-level raids by carrier-based Harrier attack planes on the airstrip just south of Port Stanley. British helicopters would then ferry the first wave of troops into lightly defended landing zones, followed by amphibious landings of the main body of troops. U.S. weather forecasters are calling for improved conditions in the area, with calmer seas, an advantage for fleet operations, but also heavy clouds and fog, a minus for the Argentinian Air Force. The human element will have a lot to do with the timing of any operation. Most of the British landing force has been at sea for 3 weeks, and each day they're tossed about in the stormy South Atlantic, their effectiveness is reduced. Bill Lynch, CBS News, the Pentagon.
The commander of the task force, Admiral John Woodward, is quoted today as saying that if battle broke out on the Falklands, it would be long and bloody. Day before yesterday, Woodward said it would be a walkover. President Reagan tonight speaks to the American people in an address to be broadcast over many of these CBS radio network stations at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And he'll be stating his budget position following the collapse of yesterday's budget summit on Capitol Hill. Neil Strauser reports the view at the White House.
It is now a political struggle to capture the credit or shift the blame, and the White House earlier this week evolved a two-step strategy. First, the offer to meet with Speaker O'Neill, and if the talks failed, the president taking his case to the American people. The White House was already calling the networks for time, as Chief of Staff James Baker appeared before reporters to preview Mr. Reagan's likely approach.
The president held out the hand of compromise. We had hoped for give and take up there, and what we found mostly from the other side was mostly take and very little give.
Baker claimed the president went more than halfway in offering to accept $122 billion in new revenue measures and $28 billion in defense cuts over 3 years, and to split the difference on domestic cuts. It is not clear whether the president will stick by his proposals and make them his new budget tonight, and in the fine print emerging in background sessions, it is clear there was a lack of specificity on many numbers, especially taxes. But officials here, without saying so, leave the impression they think they have seized the initiative in the struggle for public opinion. For the Democratic side on Capitol Hill, here is Susan Spencer.
Publicly, Democrats were polite, but privately less so. Many convinced that, in fact, they had fallen into the trap they had tried so hard to avoid, that of being blamed for the collapse of the budget talks. Richard Bowling of Missouri, one of the negotiators, told reporters that, in fact, Mr. Reagan hadn't offered all that much, that his proposed cuts in social programs still were deeper than the Democrats ever could accept, that there wasn't really meaningful flexibility on the tax issue. But Bowling said the problem clearly went far beyond the numbers.
The president obviously really believes in his program, really believes it's working, really believes it isn't going to hurt anybody. And obviously, we disagree with that.
And Democrats wanted to remind everyone that the starting point for all this talk was the fact that the president's initial budget was such a disaster on Capitol Hill, something they are afraid will get lost in all the finger-pointing that surely lies ahead as Congress begins writing its own budget. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
House Speaker Thomas O'Neill says the budget summit failed because of what O'Neill called a basic philosophical disagreement between him and the president.
It's here, the Datsun 210 Sold Rush. Your Datsun dealer is rushing to put sold on every Datsun 210 in stock.
I got everything I wanted in my Datsun 210 at a great price.
The Datsun 210 Sold Rush has it all. Sporty hatchbacks, roomy wagons, two- and four-door sedans.
Datsun quality is just amazing.
The quality-built Datsun 210 comes complete with famous Datsun mileage. Listen, the standard 5-speed 210 hatchback is EPA-rated 30 mpg. 44 highway. Use 34 comparison, your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less.
Good gas mileage. Lots of standards that cost extra on other cars.
Good price, good quality. How can you go wrong?
Oh, yeah, you can strike it rich at the Datsun 210 Sold Rush. But hurry, they're moving like Datsuns.
Be sure to pick up your free Dodger Pocket schedule at your Datsun dealer today.
More disturbances occurred today in the occupied West Bank. Richard Roth has details in Tel Aviv.
An Israeli army spokesman said that troops in the West Bank town of Halhul, south of Jerusalem, fired at Arab demonstrators after tear gas and warning shots in the air failed to stop a barrage of rocks and metal shards. According to the army, one of the demonstrators, an 18-year-old Palestinian, died of head wounds en route to a hospital. Two others were wounded but survived. It was much the same in Nablus, also on the West Bank, where two more Palestinian demonstrators were wounded in a confrontation with soldiers. The West Bank violence, now almost 2 months old, has taken the lives of at least 8 Arab demonstrators. More than 80 have been injured. Originally sparked by an Israeli crackdown on government in the occupied areas and the dismissal of 3 elected Palestinian mayors, the demonstrations now occur almost daily and seemingly spontaneously. Richard Roth, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
The UN General Assembly yesterday demanded that Israel yield control of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip to the Palestine Liberation Organization, and it denounced U.S. support for Israel. Both countries protested, but the resolution was approved on a vote of 86 to 20. This is another day of jury selection in the trial of John Hinckley, Jr., accused of trying to assassinate President Reagan in March 1981. And we'll hear about it from Fred Graham.
Jury selection will resume today with only 22 potential jurors qualified so far, and since the judge plans to qualify about 48 from which the final jury will be picked, it will apparently be at least tomorrow before the jury can be impaneled. Based on the composition of the pool from which the jury is being selected, it's almost certain that the jury will be predominantly black, and court papers filed yesterday indicate that this could cause Hinckley some problems. The questions that Hinckley's lawyer submitted to be asked of potential jurors suggest that the jury will hear evidence that Hinckley has expressed prejudice against blacks, Jews, and other minorities, and that his reading, including Hitler's book Mein Kampf and other anti-black and anti-Semitic volumes. There is another irony to Hinckley's reading tastes. He is pleading insanity, and his lawyers have listed 15 doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists who may testify in support of that claim. and his reading list includes a book called The Fox Was Crazy Too, about a master criminal who sometimes managed to win acquittals by pretending to be insane. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Five armed leftist hijackers today are still holding 27 hostages aboard a Honduran airliner on the ground of the airport in Tegucigalpa, the Honduran capital. They're demanding the release of 52 political prisoners and $1 million ransom. The Honduran government refuses to meet the demands. The dollar today gained against the major foreign currencies, and gold prices are off somewhat. The price was fixed in London this morning at $352 an ounce. That was down about a dollar from yesterday in London and down about $3 from yesterday's close in New York.
CBS News. The United States waits for word from Britain and Argentina on a U.S. peace proposal. I'm Richard C. Huttle at reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In less than 24 hours, Britain closes the airspace around the Falkland Islands to Argentine planes, as it has already proclaimed a sea blockade. There seems to be less and less time to avert a collision, but each of the parties seems to be waiting for the other. Dan Revive in London.
British officials said that Argentina is expected to respond today to the latest proposals from Secretary of State Haig. That's what Prime Minister Thatcher was referring to in Parliament.
Mr. Speaker, there can be no doubt where the intransigence lies in this matter. The key to peace is in the hands of the Argentine government, and the responsibility is theirs.
The leader of the opposition Labour Party, Michael Foot, referred to the ruling Conservatives in warning against using force before exhausting all possible negotiations.
Some honourable gentlemen on that side of the House, I hope it's not saying it's the government, don't seem to be interested in any further negotiations at all.
Winston Churchill, grandson of the late Prime Minister, cheered on this Prime Minister.
She and the Royal Navy Task Force have the full and unqualified backing of the British people as a whole in regaining the Falklands and in liberating our people from fascism.
Britain's total blockade of the islands is to begin at 7 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow morning. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
The latest American proposals have not been made public, but unofficially, they would have both sides withdraw their forces from the Falklands and the Falklands area. Then, after a brief period of British administration, Britain and Argentina would administer the islands jointly and negotiate the islands' future status. The United States would guarantee the whole process. More news after this.
And now, another value update from Sears. The big news is big savings during Sears Spring Home Appliance Sale. Save $100 on a Kenmore microwave, $60 on a color TV. Save $30 on a Kenmore washer, $20 on a dryer. Save $20 to $100 on these and other selected Sears appliances. Vacuum cleaner, stereo, refrigerator, air conditioners. Now through May 1st in most Sears retail stores. For home appliance values, you can count on Sears.
Sir, will you please put down that magazine and fasten your seatbelt?
Oh, I just love this BC comic character in this Pitney Bowes copy you're at.
Well, I didn't know Pitney Bowes sold copiers.
Oh, the word is out. Pitney Bowes sells and services a full line of copiers, from the small to the large.
Uh-huh.
Like the Pitney Bowes 9600, the desktop copier that fits anywhere and does almost everything.
Oh, it says for a free demonstration, call Pitney Bowes. They're in the phone book. Sir, please fasten your copier.
My copier? Mm-hmm. You said copier.
I did say copier. You know I.
Pitney Bowes, the copiers you've been reading about.
President Reagan is having lunch with the visiting Prime Minister of Tunisia. There's nothing on his schedule for the rest of the afternoon, much of which he will spend polishing his speech for nationwide broadcast tonight. With budget negotiations at an impasse, the president is expected to take the offensive in selling his economic policies directly to the American people. Treasury Secretary Donald Regan says we should expect to see a lot of the fighting Reagan qualities in his speech tonight, to be broadcast at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on many of these CBS radio network stations. In the occupied West Bank, more violence today. Two Palestinians were shot to death by Israeli troops trying to control anti-Israeli demonstrations, raising the death toll to at least 11 Palestinians in the last 6 weeks. With violent incidents today in more than a dozen West Bank towns and refugee camps, one Palestinian says the Israeli army is inflaming the situation by using tougher tactics. Bethlehem's mayor, Elias Frege, says that Israeli soldiers are answering stones with bullets. The Honduran airliner with 27 hostages on board remains parked on the runway at Tegucigalpa Airport. It's been there since yesterday,
when armed hijackers asked for $1 million and the release of 52 political prisoners. When the Honduran government refused to meet their demands, the hijackers lowered their price to $250,000 and 32 prisoners. Stocks and other news after this.
You could win $50,000 in the big mortgage payoff sweepstakes at all Sherwin-Williams stores and save up to $7 off regular price per gallon on our best paints, 40% off regular price per roll on selected wall covering. Go to any Sherwin-Williams store for full details. For free game piece and official rules, write P.O. Box 2731 Westbury, New York. All prizes must be claimed by June 30th, 1982. No purchases necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Big prizes, big savings at all Sherwin-Williams stores. Hurry!
Hello, Post Office. Got a question on your new 2-pound pack from Express Mail Next Day Service. You'll deliver 2 pounds overnight anywhere you go for $9.35, less than most other people charge for just a few ounces. You wouldn't kid a veteran, would you?
Express Mail Service delivers 60,000 packages on time every day, and our 2-pound pack is just $9.35.
You son of a gun.
The Express Mail 2-pound pack. It lets you send more for less. Sponsored by your postal service.
Emperor Hirohito of Japan celebrated his 81st birthday today. He appeared briefly at his palace to accept tributes and shouts of banzai from a crowd of thousands. Hirohito has been emperor for 56 years. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 3.90. Volume on the big board is heavy, 23.5 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials stand now at 848.74. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.